The economic impact private boats and planes have on our region is huge. So with a younger generation that may or may not care about such status symbols, plus environmental concerns, what's the future looking like? Welcome to the full story on WSHU and online at WSHU.org. I'm Ron Ropiak. If you're a plane owner or if you're a boat owner, we would love to hear from you. You can drop us a comment by email at tfs@wshu.org, or you can find us on Facebook at Full Story WSHU, and you could also leave a comment there. Now, to start our discussion off today, we're going to bring in someone who's been on our program in the past. We love speaking with him, Professor Martin Cantor, director of the Long Island Center for Socioeconomic Policy, and the professor is a former Suffolk County Economic Development Commissioner. Professor Cantor, how are you, sir?
I'm just fine. Yourself?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for asking. Can you give us some numbers, please? Break it down for us. The economic impact of the sales of boats and related industries on Long Island, and what the private plane market means to the area.
Well, the fact is Long Island, which was the second largest boating community in the United States after Michigan because of all the Great Lakes they have, that was about 25 years ago. Over the past 25 years, that market has diminished, contracted. And on Long Island, we find that historically family-owned boat construction businesses have closed. Some are contemplating. Some of the wealthier people have left south and taken with them with their boats. So the community has contracted. It's a small economic sector of the island, as is airplanes, because what's happening now is where boating used to be a Long Island middle class activity. It's now ceased to be that because the middle class is worried about paying the bills, the high cost of living, energy, taxes, similar to what's up in Connecticut. And what they're finding is that the boats, you know, are too expensive to maintain. You know, I remember when I'm a former boat owner. I owned a 26-foot Sea Ray. And I remember when I bought it, someone told me the two happiest days in the life of a boat owner.
When you buy
the boat
and when you
sell it. It's a money pit. And it's a lot of people don't have that extra money to put into a boat, to winterize it, to dry dock it, to pay the high cost of diesel fuel per gallon. It's become not so much as a hobby, but it's become, if you can afford it, it's become a major part of your budget, and a lot of people on Long Island can't afford to do it, so it's contracted. In terms of airlines, airplanes, that's strictly for the wealthy. And that we haven't seen too much of a problem. In fact, Islip MacArthur Airport, which is a regional airport, has had increases. The majority of their flights, both in and out, have been private planes and small planes, not Southwest and the major airlines. So Islip MacArthur hasn't had too much of a problem because the people who fly planes are wealthy and can afford it. But the boating industry, which was almost like a home budget industry, that's taken a hit.
So let me touch on something you mentioned a minute or two ago, and I've heard this from other people, boat owners, who have said, I enjoy it, but around here it's simply too expensive. And as you said, I'm going to Florida, and that's where they take them. Is that more and more of a trend?
Oh, yeah, because the people who are retiring, remember, I don't know if it's a trend that they're taking their boats with them, but it's a trend that they are leaving the region, and their boats are either being sold or they're not taking them, but there's no boating activity. Now, they could very well go to Florida and buy another boat and have activity on the inland waterways, and the costs are a lot less. You know, just as an example, this past weekend, I was out at Northport, the Greenport, rather, eastern end of Long Island, having lunch at a restaurant there. And I took a look at, you know, normally if you go to Freeport, which is a village on Long Island, a very big boating community, you could dock your boat and go into a restaurant and eat, and there would be no fees to dock at the restaurant. here on this particular place, you had to pay $1 a foot for your boat for 3 hours parking. So if I had brought my boat there, it would be $26. But there were no boats of 26 feet. They were all larger, huge, huge yachts that were parking. So a dollar a foot didn't matter much to them. And those are the only out of the four boats that were docked at the restaurant, only one was a smaller boat, probably 18-footer. And the other ones were probably 50, 60-foot yachts. And one was a 90-foot yacht that was parked at another pier. So it's become an avocation of the very wealthy, and the middle class are not partaking. And yes, they go to Florida, and that's a market for the boat manufacturers and repair shops. And that's why we find a lot of them are closing here on the island, because the customers aren't there.
Professor,
the rents are high, the property taxes for the businesses are high, the energy costs are high. Wages are high, so it's become an unaffordable economic sector for both the manufacturers and the users of the boats.
Professor, what about for the young people, for millennials and those maybe a little bit older, maybe not boomers, but are they interested at all in owning private planes or in boat ownership? Or is, as you mentioned before, the cost of living around here, not just Long Island, I mean, it's many places nowadays, it's so tough. Millennials also have student debt and so on. Some of them work 2 to 3 jobs. Are they interested in boating? Are they interested in flying?
You know, the quick answer is no. If you recall the radio program that you had earlier in the year with those 5 millennials from Sacred Heart,
yes,
and myself, not one of them mentioned that they were upset they couldn't buy a boat, you know, in their comments about what they were stressing out about. It was waiting longer to get married, having a job that meets their salary requirements and skill sets, finding housing that matches where they want to live. Nobody is talking boating in the millennial community. And that's probably why we're having such a problem in terms of the boating industry, because the generation that's following the boomers don't have that much of an interest in it. It's a very costly hobby. And, the fact is that the wages, when you adjust them for inflation, have not gotten beyond 2000 levels. Costs have gone up exponentially. The mere fact of living, paying for food, shelter, housing, student loans, they have nothing left. And the last thing they're going to spend on is a boat.
Sure.
And as for the airline industry, they, you know, you can't even use the word millennial and airline industry in the same sentence, because it just doesn't matter to make any kind of economic significance or impact on Long Island or in the region.
Professor, is there an environmental component to all of this?
Probably not, you know, because the only environmental component, I mean, we're talking about pleasure craft. We're not talking about commercial fishing, which deep sea fishing, which go out and, and there are quotas on fishing and the type of fish that you can bring in terms of environmental. You know, the only thing that that you can think is maybe, you know, the exhaust from the boats, you know, contribute to a greenhouse effect, but there aren't that many boats, you know, to have that kind of an impact. You know, commercial airlines have a bigger impact than pleasure boats.
Hmm.
So I have not heard any environmental concerns about boats as an issue. You know, I mean, the climate change folks think airplanes are a big problem, but I don't see any one of those climate change people not taking an airplane to go to their conferences. So I don't think the climate is an issue when it comes, and the environment is an issue when it comes to boats. I mean, obviously, if you sail a sailboat, then there are no environmental impacts, you know, because you're using wind to push your boat. But no, I don't think there's anything. I mean, I can see the environmentalists saying, well, you're using fossil fuels and you're using oil, oil for your boats and fossil fuel for your to propel your boats. That's a discussion, but that's a silly discussion. There's not enough of them to make an impact.
Professor, I have a minute and a half left. Where are these industries going to be, let's say, 5 years from now?
Well, 5 years from now, we're going to have a very diminished industry on Long Island, probably a smaller industry off the coast of Connecticut, although some of the people on the coast of Connecticut are wealthier, live in wealthier communities, so boats might be, you know, still important. But I think where they're going to go is boats are going to go where the water is, obviously, off California, because they don't seem to be concerned about anything in California. So we'll probably go to California, go to Michigan, and go to Florida. And I think what's going to happen is the boats are going to follow where the former boat owners are relocating to, if there's going to be an industry. So Florida will have a stronger industry, you know, just like employees follow where the jobs are. I think boats are going to follow where the owners want to live, and that's going to dictate where it is, you know, where the boating industry follows.
It's like the old line about robbing banks, right? Why do you rob a bank? That's where the money is.
That's where the money is. You're right, you are.
Professor Martin Cantor, director of the Long Island Center for Socioeconomic Policy, and he's a former Suffolk County Economic Development Commissioner. And one of these days, Professor, we're going to get you up into the studio here.
I look forward to it.
Thanks, Professor. Enjoy the day.
And you too now. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. We have a number of other guests for our discussion this next segment, and we're going to start with Peter Clark, who's a co-owner of Long Island Aviators. And Peter, if I got this right, you are a pilot and a flight instructor?
Correct.
Thanks for being on the air with us today.
Oh, sure.
How's business?
Business is very well. It's We've got a steady increase in customers and students.
You do? And is there a particular age group?
Yeah, I would say for the younger adults, I guess maybe you're looking at 21 to 30 age group. As you know, it's a very difficult time for airlines, and not specifically the major airlines, but the regional airlines to get pilots. And there's a lot of job opportunities, a lot of bonus signing contracts, and a real good time to become a pilot and get into the airlines, if that's what you're looking to do.
So are these your students? Can I call them your students?
Sure.
Okay. Your students are really looking to do this not so much for recreation and fun as for a potential career?
Well, we're talking two different genres here. So the younger adults that I'm talking about, those are the ones that are looking for a career in aviation. And I would say that's probably about 60 to 70% of our students. And then there's a certain percentage of people who, you know, a bucket list item they wanted to do. They always wanted to become a pilot.
Hmm.
Or, you know, they had been a pilot earlier in their adulthood, and now they have the more time and money to get back into it. But the large percent of, I would say, our student population is, you know, those looking to go towards the airlines.
Kind of like going skydiving, how you just scratch that off on that list.
Yeah, that's one way of looking at it. Sure.
So let me ask you, Peter. I don't know if you were able to catch some of the discussion that I had in the first segment with Professor Martin Cantor. And basically, it's about the business aspect of it, what this means to our region, whether or not people are spending money on something such as going to flight school, learning to become a pilot, whether for fun or a career. And there are some who are saying, you know, some people may not be interested in that nowadays. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing the economy change what's going on? Or are there different reasons for millennials and those in that age group for not wanting to do this?
Well, I'm not seeing what you're saying. I'm seeing an increase in the amount of people looking to get their license. And that being, like I said, primarily the millennials. I don't see them. Our revenue's been up almost 20-30% a year each year for the last, I don't know, at least 7-8 years. So, and large in part due to the pilot shortage, I would say. But as far as airplanes themselves are concerned, there's a high demand for single-engine planes, and they're going up in value. I would say, if anything, there's a deficit on the market for such such supply.
Doug Weston is also with us. He's with the Gays Flying Club. And, Doug, I'm going to get to you in just one moment, but I want to bring in Fred Aberle, who is the general manager from Westbrook Marine Max, and based out of where else? Westbrook, Connecticut. And I want to thank you, Fred, because you just snuck into the studio here with me because you're a brave man. You braved the merit today. And what were you, sitting on it for an hour and a half?
It was an interesting trip, but thank you for having me.
It's always an experience going on the merit. Fred, how's business?
Very good, thank you. Past year has been just wonderful for the marine industry, particularly in Connecticut. A lot of that has to do with the tax reduction on boats.
And that took place, that really took effect just the last few months, right?
It did, you're right, yeah. But it's had an amazing effect on our business, and it was a long time coming.
So what did the tax rate go from, and what did it go to?
6.35 to 2.99.
A lot of money when you're talking about the average sale of a boat is what?
Thousands of dollars in savings for the consumer.
And you think that has been the main reason for the increase in sales?
That was a good stimulus for that. I think consumer spending over the past few years is strong, continues to be strong, and it's an economic benefit. We are in the business of selling luxury goods.
What size boats are we talking about? Are we talking about what some of us would call yachts or?
Yeah. Marine Max is the largest retailer in the country, for that matter, the world. You can have yachts over 100 feet and you can have dinghies 10 feet. We cover the whole spectrum.
I'm a dinghy kind of guy. I mean, I don't think in this lifetime it'll be the Ropiak yacht, but you know the little.
It's coming. It's coming.
Keep the fingers crossed. My own next life, at least. We have heard reports that sales of boats in our region have been dropping precipitously, and some boat shops are going out of business or considering going out of business, or possibly relocating to someplace like Florida, someplace down south. Are you seeing that?
No.
You're saying everything, the business is fine, things are good.
Business is strong.
Okay. Obviously, the people who come into your shop are wealthy. If you have that kind of money to spend, that's what you're going to be doing. Has anything on the federal level in terms of taxes helped that along?
I can't answer that. I mean, disposable income, that's tough for me to answer.
Mm-hmm.
We see a strong market in the marine industry. As I've mentioned, we see it being bolstered or helped along by taxation policy of Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time when a lot of business would go over the border to Rhode Island, where a boat would be tax-free. But you are seeing the economics come into play in the luxury goods market. People are spending money in a strong economy.
When the boat owners buy the boats from you, do they stay here or do they take it elsewhere?
That's an excellent question. In most part, they stay here. However, being a luxury good, dealing with the affluent, many do have second homes. So you will see vessels going to Florida for 6 months and then coming back. It's kind of a seasonal parade, like we joke about the snowbirds.
Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with boat owners.
The boats are floating snowbirds.
I want to bring in Doug Weston, who has been waiting patiently with us. Doug, are you still there?
I'm still there. I'm enjoying the conversation that's going around.
Thanks for your patience. Doug is with the Gays Flying Club on Long Island. Give us the 30-second elevator pitch, Doug. What is the Gays Flying Club?
Well, we are a long-time flying club. We were originally the Grumman Aircraft or Aerospace Corporation Employees Flying Club. And at one time, you had to be an employee of Grumman to actually join. Now, as Grumman has mostly moved off the island, we've opened up our membership to anybody who's interested in flying. And predominantly, we would look for somebody who is already licensed to fly. We have two Cessna Skyhawks, which is kind of the bottom end of the market, but they are affordable, whereas the Cirruses and Brilliances of the world are
not quite as affordable. So we probably cater to the people who are interested in flying but don't have a tremendous amount of money to fly.
Hmm. So for those of us who don't own planes, are we talking about the 4-6-seaters that we see around?
The ones we have are the 4-seater. They have 4 seats, but unless you carry a pretty small amount of gas or very small people, you can't really fill the seats and fly. But 2 or 3 people to go pretty much anywhere you want to go, up and down around the East Coast. You can do that easily in one of these planes.
So you're saying these planes are basically like some of the cars when they tell you, well, it could comfortably sit 4 people, but if the 2 people in the front push their seats all the way back, there's no way anyone's getting back in the back seat, right?
Yeah, more than that, the weight that they can carry is limited, you know, and it's shared by the fuel and the people and whatever baggage or so they might have. So it's limited in that respect.
Okay, so I know you've been listening to the conversation, so my question for you is, are you finding more and more people are willing to join a club such as yours, or are you finding those numbers going down nowadays? How's your membership?
Membership has really been fairly stable over the time I've been the administrator, which is probably the last 18 or 20 years. So we have a large contingent of people who've been longtime members who don't necessarily fly anymore but still retain their membership just to be part of the club. And then there's a fairly active group of, say, 30 or so that actually fly the planes and participate in our plane washes and meetings and things like that.
Yeah, Peter Clark is still...
So, I mean, we're not a huge club. We're 100 and some odd members altogether, so...
Right, but you have a good membership, and they're active. Peter Clark is still with us.
A lot of us have been there a long time, so it makes it a nicer community, if you will, to fly with them.
Peter, I'm going to ask you to jump in on the conversation here, because I want to bring it back to what I was talking about with Dr. Martin Cantor at the beginning of the program. Whether or not those in the younger generation are interested in clubs such as the Flying Club. Doug, are you seeing that now?
Mostly it's not. It's mostly older.
When you say older, what age group?
Saying, it's people who might have flown once before or have it on their bucket list to learn to fly. Most of our new members, I would say, fit in that category.
So give me some ages.
Young people coming in, very rare.
Doug, give me some ages.
I'm 67, and I'm nowhere near the oldest member of the club.
Okay, so 67. So you're talking about men and women who may or may not be at retirement age?
Yeah, absolutely.
Peter, can I get your comments?
Sorry?
I was just asking Peter if I could get his comments on this.
You know, we have, we're not just a flight school. We also do aircraft rental to licensed pilots. Mm-hmm. And I would say those who are coming to rent strictly to go from point A to point B or to stay current are, you know, slightly older, as Doug is attesting to. But those looking to get their license predominantly are the younger generation. And, you know, but like I said, you know, there is a certain amount of people a little later in life that are looking to learn how to fly, and they always wanted to do it. But I do not see a decrease in the amount of people calling or walking in on a daily basis, at any age, for that matter.
Fred Eberle, I'm going to bring it back to the boats here, because I'd like to speak a little bit about age. And you say business is good nowadays, and I'm assuming that if people are coming in and plunking down that kind of cash for what you sell, they probably have to be a little bit older. They probably have to have some money in the bank. Are you seeing any interest from those who may be a bit younger?
Yes, we are. I mean, that's a great question. Affluence comes with time. But we do see what I consider to be a younger age group, 30s, young families just starting out. Paralleling the conversation that the gentleman we're having just now in the aeronautics industry, we also have boat clubs in the marine industry, and people that are new to boating, don't really understand navigation, try this out. They go to enjoy a boat club, and they have a great summer, and then they'll in most cases, come to a boat retailer such as Marine Max and purchase a boat outright. Skewing from the 30-year-olds up into your prime income-producing years, your 40s through your 50s, you'll see them trading up in boats.
Mm.
So people will start with a boat from 15 to 19 feet, use that boat for a few years, and then trade up something in the mid-20s. Life changes. Kids go to college. You retire. They go up and they get their overnight cruiser, their 35 to 47-foot boats. That passes, and then it goes the other way. They go, oh, we're downsizing, much like a home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how you see our industry work.
Kind of what the empty nesters do. I only have 3-4 minutes left in our segment. Are you optimistic about the future?
I'm highly optimistic about the future. We're a very strong publicly held corporation. We have the assets to rely on, the infrastructure, the natural, landscape of the marine industry is supported by Marine Max throughout the U.S. So I'm very optimistic. The economy is still good. People are spending money. Discretionary income is still there. And we're coming into an election year, and then, you know, the course of action is usually that's a pretty good sign for the economy as well.
Fred, we got you in here late, and I feel bad about that. I hate for you to drive all the way down the Merritt. Do you mind hanging out and just staying with us for the next segment?
I'd love you. Thank you very much.
Fantastic. Fred Aberle is with us, and he's going to stay with us for the next segment. So I'm going to wrap up speaking now with Peter Clark and with Doug Weston. Peter, the same question I asked Fred. When you look at your industry, are you optimistic for the future?
Long Island Aviators, we are very optimistic. We see no decline, and we kind of parallel what the airlines are predicting. So with their pilot shortage predicted well for another 10 or 15 years, that's the way I see the next generation of pilots going through school. So I'm looking forward to the election and keeping the economy going the way it is. Myself, I don't see any change coming.
Doug Weston, with your experience with Grumman and now with the Gase Flying Club, are you optimistic?
I am. At one point, you would have said, I guess it's not so many years ago, it was declining, and the alphabet organizations like AOPA and NBAA and everybody got on board and tried to promote what's Peter's now seeing is the increase of students. And for the flying club itself, our membership, like I said, we have some long-term members, and as they go away, we've been getting new members coming in pretty much continuously. I'm definitely optimistic about the future of aviation. And as a side note, I got back into boating this year after about a 20-year absence with a 24-foot Sea Ray. I'm part of the market that's expanding for the marine side.
He does it from the air. He does it from the water. Doug Weston with the Gase Flying Club out on Long Island. Doug, thank you. I appreciate your time today.
It was my pleasure, and nice talking to you all. Thank you.
Same here. And Peter Clark is the co-owner of Long Island Aviators. He's a pilot and he's a flight instructor. And Peter, it was a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. If you want to join in the conversation, if you would like to comment, you can email us. We're at tfs@wshu.org. One more time, that email is tfs@wshu.org. Fred Aberle is nice enough to still be with us. He's the GM, the general manager from Westbrook Marine Max. He's based out of Westbrook, Connecticut. Came down here, and everyone who is listening right now knows the story. You get on 95, you get on the Merritt, you get on the Long Island Expressway, and you hit that traffic. There's an accident, and today, unfortunately, was a very bad one, and then you take the side roads, and it takes forever. So I appreciate, Fred, you going through what you went through to get here today. Also joining us is we have a number of other guests joining us on the phone. Bob Lutz, Gyro Revolution co-owner over at MacArthur Airport. Hey, Bob, how are you?
This is Rob Lutz. I'm the co-founder of Gyro Revolution. I actually made over your studio here in Stony Brook, one of your Coast Studios, and I'm very excited to be here.
I knew you were in the studio, and I messed that up, so sorry about that. And I won't call you Bob, and I will call you Rob. Sorry. And also with us is Dick Nepinski, who is Director of Communications from the Experimental Aircraft Association. Dick, how are you, sir?
I am doing terrific. Great to be with you today.
You're joining us today from Oshkosh?
Oshkosh, Wisconsin, out in the middle of the country. That's right.
I had the pleasure of visiting there a number of years ago, and we could talk about that in a minute. And Sean Duclay is also with us, and Sean is the co-founder of Sail Ahead. Hey, Sean, how are you?
Hi, Ron. I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Sean, and I'm going to bring this up now because it has a bearing on our discussion. You're 20 years old. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. With that, tell us a little bit about Sail Ahead.
Sure. My pleasure. So as you said, I'm 20 years old. My brother is 2 years older than me. And we started Sail Ahead in the winter of 2013 when we were 14 and 16 years old. And the reason we started Sail Ahead was one day we heard on the news that there were at least 22 veterans in the United States committing suicide per day. And so if you do the math, that's over 8,000 veterans in the United States that kill themselves. And in the past 18 years of fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan, we've had around 7,000. So we lose more people at home than per year than we have in the Middle East for the past 18 years. And we wanted to make a difference using sailing.
And how do you make that difference?
So we take wounded veterans out sailing as a form of therapy. We partner with yacht clubs, and we organize events. We have 5 annual events on Long Island, as well as one in Washington State. And what's more important is not only the events, but also that we get people coming regularly out on the water. The events serve as a way to broadcast our message, to tell veterans and people suffering from PTSD and depression that there are ways to help yourself, there are ways to get better, there are people who care. And also, we spread PTSD and veteran suicide awareness, as well as honor and remember our mates, which are kind of our symbol, and they're the name tags of 219 veterans that have committed suicide in America.
Sean, I'd like to meet you one day. You sound like a very impressive young man, and it's amazing, I think, what you're doing. And I want to bring Fred into this portion of the conversation because, Sean, one of the reasons we wanted to have you on is with some of the readings we did and some of the research, it seemed to indicate that young people nowadays aren't interested in flying. They're not interested in boats. They have other things that they're doing. Life is very complicated. And maybe some of those things that maybe the older generation used to do in the past was kind of dropping off a little bit. But it sounds like you're very active, and so are a number of your friends.
Mm-hmm. So I was certainly lucky enough to have parents that taught me how to sail while I was growing up. So luckily, sailing has never not been a part of my life. And basically, as a family, we sort of transformed that love of sailing into this organization, which now has become more or less our life's work. But I know what you're talking about, and I think it's an observable trend, the fact that there are less and less of my peers who are interested in sailing. When we organize events with the yacht clubs, most of the sailors or boat owners there are 2 to 3 times my age.
Yeah,
so, you know, my brother and I feel somewhat alone in as young people.
Well, Fred, this goes to what you were saying before.
Yeah, the sailing is a sport at its heart. I was raised sailing boats. I did a lot of ocean racing in my 20s. There is, I think, a kind of barrier to entry at times in that people will often opt for easier access to relaxation. Perhaps they'd go hiking or riding a bike, whereas there's a little bit more to it in the marine world. But what does happen for people when they board a sailboat is a very calming effect. You're on the ocean, it's quiet. You see nature in a whole nother way. Same with power boating. People enjoy this activity because it brings families together, creates an environment, a welcoming environment to explore nature in a completely different way.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, sure, is it tough for younger people to get out there? Yeah, because it is somewhat exclusive. However, there are ways to get out on the water and enjoy what's out there without having to lay down a lot of money to do it.
Let me switch it over a little bit to back to the sky now. Rob Lutz, as I said, is with us, Gyro Revolution co-owner. Rob, what is Gyro Revolution?
So Gyro Revolution is a dealership, training, and service center for gyroplanes. They look very similar to helicopters, but they're a lot more affordable to own, to operate, and they're easier to fly, and they're a lot safer. I kind of have the same sentiments that Fred has a little bit about the air. It is does create a calming effect. And, you know, some of our introductory rides are as low as $100. So there is an entry. There is a smaller barrier to entry initially. And then down the road, if you want to pursue it, you know, you can get into one of these aircraft for a partner share for about $25,000 for a two-seater. And in minutes, you know, you're out of Long Island. You're out to Nantucket, Martha's Vineyard. It's a lot of fun. So we support the acquisition of the aircraft. We do the training. I'm a flight instructor. I'm also a charter jet pilot. Solar electric test pilot, but that's probably for another time. fly everything from light airplanes to seaplanes, helicopters, and I'm a CFI for all of that, certified flight instructor. And these aircraft have some really great economical and environmental advantages over some of their counterparts in the air.
Did you just say solar electric flight?
I did. I was actually a test pilot on a solar electric aircraft a few years back, and that was... That was a lot of fun being part of that program and seeing some of the struggles when it came to energy density, and really gave me a bigger understanding dealing with the scientists and seeing some of the really large obstacles when it comes to transitioning to electric flight, a lot larger obstacles when it comes to high-speed aircraft versus cars.
You're right. That is a topic for another program, but I had to ask it. But I would love to have you back on at some point in the future to talk just about that, because I think that would be fascinating. Before I bring in Dick Nepinski, I just have to ask, how's business nowadays? Rob, for you.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry. I thought you were talking about Dick. Oh, business is fantastic. We have a cross demographic of people that are coming to see us. We've taken people up, you know, 14 years old. Their parents bring them in. They have a fantastic time. They get a great view of the air at Long Island, sights that they've never seen before, and get hands-on flying of the aircraft. I've had someone up ages 93 years old. He was up having a fantastic time. He was an existing pilot. He adapted so quickly to the aircraft, and he marveled at how well it handled the wind. And the view, he says it's the best he's seen of any aircraft he's ever been in. So we're getting people traveling to see us from as far away as California, Texas, as well as a lot of people in the local area, especially as we start to grow our fleet and acquire an actual certified gyroplane. They're moving, these aircraft now moving out of the experimental market into the certified market, where they're becoming legally more useful and have a lot better quality control over the aircrafts, where you're going to see these things very synonymous with big names like Cessna, Piper, Beechcraft. It's really exciting. It's a huge emerging market. Europe, they've saturated the market there with gyroplanes. People have already figured out how useful and fun they are. The U.S. is just starting to learn that, and we're going to help them open that door to a new form of recreational flight unlike and people have ever seen here.
Dick Nepinski, you're a very patient man. I appreciate it. You're out in Oshkosh. You're the home of one of the largest air shows in the world. And just as background, Dick, I have to be honest, I was able to go to one of your air shows a number of years ago, and I flew in some of the experimental aircraft. I'm still a little shaky from one or two of them, but overall, okay. what are you seeing? Is experimental aircraft flight still as popular? Because we're trying to look at it from the business aspect in our region, and whether or not that popularity is continuing and what it means economically to us.
There are a lot of channels right now that are very advantageous for people. And first of all, people think of experimental aircraft, and they're thinking of something out in Area 51 that might be that they're flying that's a brand new test bed. Experimental is a little bit of a misnomer. It's the category where they are registered instead of what they actually do. Most of the experimental amateur-built aircraft that are out there, where our association comes in, are come from very standardized kits. And what that does is create a very affordable entry point for a lot of people. You know, Cessna makes a wonderful small airplane, for instance, but you're going to pay $300,000, $400,000 for a brand new one from the factory. You can build a new airplane that's faster, more aerodynamic, more fuel efficient for about $75,000. And you know, you're going to put in a little time, 1,000, 2,000 hours building it, but it's a standardized kit. And that is a way that we're seeing more than 1,000 airplanes come onto the register each year, the recreational aircraft. And when people talk about that, sometimes people think about the biz jets, the Gulfstreams and so forth, as general aviation. That's part of it. But the vast majority of it is actually people of average means getting together with other people of average means who like to fly and coming in and stepping in, owning an airplane as a partnership or in a flying club, and looking at it that way just to go enjoy the sky.
Dick, I know you were hearing part of the conversation. I don't know if you heard the whole show, but our guests pretty much, I think, are in agreement that for such as boating and planes, maybe it starts a little bit later in life. I know when it comes to sailing, as Sean was telling us, he's 20 years old. That's okay. But this takes money, doesn't it? And usually this is something that you can't spend till you've spent a few years working and getting ahead in life.
It's interesting you mentioned that, Ron, because even our founder, Paul Poberesny, back in the 1960s said, people, when they're young, have this fascination with flight. Our Young Eagles program has flown nearly 2.2 million kids free of charge, and they get excited. Well, then school, house, family get in the way, and very often we're planting seeds that come to fruition when people are in their 40s and in their 50s. The kids have left home. They're in college or out in their first jobs. There's disposable time. There's disposable income. And so it's a matter of priorities. We do have young people entering in increasing numbers. They see it as a career path. They see it as recreation. But the demographic has been very much the same ever since the end of World War II. People come out and they establish themselves and job and family and then start looking for what's that recreation? What would I love to do someday? And that's when the majority of people step up, start taking that flight training.
Sean, as a 20-year-old, what are your friends doing? Are they interested in boating? Are they interested possibly in becoming pilots or experimental aircraft?
I think, as some of the other guest speakers have said, there's something very much inviting about it. It's adventurous and kind of like hiking or skiing. There's a therapeutic element to it. But I think that there's just not a lot of exposure. So, for example, to stick with the topic of veterans, we know some people who've gone to Iraq, Afghanistan, Japan, you know, all around the world. They're from Long Island, but they've never been on the Long Island Sound, or they don't know anyone who has a boat that they can use. So it might not be that there's a lack of interest, but there's the lack of the venue to get to the water.
I'm sorry, Fred, you wanted to join in?
Yeah, I was just thinking access is definitely a hindrance. It's tough to get to the boats. You have to be in a marina or...
Yeah.
Lucky enough to know someone that has a boat at a yacht club or something like that. So that can hold things back a little bit.
I'm almost out of time, and I've enjoyed the conversation today, but unfortunately, I probably didn't give enough time to all our guests. So, Rob Lutz, with that in mind, what would your final thoughts be in terms of your business and your future and whether or not you're optimistic for the future?
Well, I'm wildly optimistic for the future. Gyroplanes, this emerging market, as soon as people see the aircraft, they're intrigued by it. You can check it out, www.gyrorev.com, gyrorev.com. They're very modern. They have advanced avionics that the young crowd tends to like that a lot, which creates a little easier ease of use. You can go 300-500 miles on these aircraft and just have a vacation of it. Go out for a bite to eat for lunch or for dinner or a weekend or whatnot. And, you know, you're looking at a direct course of operation that's far less than, say, a Cessna or a small helicopter or whatnot. It makes it a lot more approachable. The flying culture that we already have in the States is something to behold. It's created a level of safety that's unparalleled in the world. It's why we have the best pilots and the highest safety records. So without this flying culture, whether it be gyroplanes or other light aircraft, we would certainly miss the safety that we all take for granted nowadays, because people don't just fly for a living. They fly for fun. They fly for passion. And that's something that's often missed.
I wonder if the radio station would be upset if I landed on the roof. I mean, it would be a lot easier than going on the Merit. Dick Nepinski,
I can help you with that.
Dick Nepinski, final thoughts, please.
Well, you know, what Rob is saying is very true. And you start looking at it, and part of our reach to young people is certainly giving them places to go. There are things such as the Young Pilots Fly-In down in South Carolina, a Triple Tree Aerodrome down there that brings in thousands of young pilots, and they get to bond, creating that atmosphere, that community, to encourage one another. And what we're spending a lot of time at, and we're very hopeful for, is getting out where the young people are and where those potential pilots are, whether that's through social media, some events. We've been at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas, talking about aviation down there. And those type of places, again, plant the seeds. They go, yeah, I've always thought about that, but maybe it's something that I can step into. Well, here's how you do it. Here's a local EA chapter that we have around. We've got 900 of them in the country, and those type of things. So giving them the opportunities, the openings, encouraging them to meet people involved in aviation. Word of mouth is always the best way to encourage and support those who are interested.
Fred Aberle, I only have 20 seconds left for you. Fred, final thoughts, please.
Just great appreciation for having the time to spend with you today and speak a bit about the marine industry, the retail industry, and it is positive. Everything's good. The water is getting cleaner, the economy's strong, and we're looking at getting as many people out on the water as possible through Marine Max.
Sean Duclay, tell us how we can find out more about Sail Ahead.
Well, you can visit sailahead.org for more information. You can also like us at our Facebook page.
Sean Duclay, co-founder of Sail Ahead, Dick Nepinski, director of communications for Experimental Aircraft Association in beautiful Oshkosh, and Rob Lutz, Gyro Revolution co-owner over at MacArthur Airport. He's joining us from our studios on Long Island. And, of course, in the studio with me is Fred Aberle and Fred from Westbrook. General Manager from Westbrook Marine Max. Thank you all. I appreciate
it. Thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
That's going to do it for our show today. Joel Schrock is our engineer. Carrie Frank is the digital editor. Associate producers Fatou Sangari, Sabrina Garone, Roberto Rojas. J.D. Allen is the producer. Ann Lopez is the senior producer. I'm Ron Ropiak. Thanks to you for being part of The Full Story.